Hey everybody, welcome to Christ Today. This is Alfredo Romero. I am the pastor of Rock of Life Fellowship here in Chico. And I am stepping in for John Sheffenson, who's on the mend. And we're just praying he gets back as soon as he can. In the meantime, I've been hosting this show for the last few weeks and trying to get some topics that are really interesting and topics that we can really think about what God is doing today and how our relationship with Christ needs to continually grow. And also, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, definitely this is an opportunity for you to get to know who Christ is in your life, in my life, whether we're believers or not. And hopefully it would lead you to make that decision to have Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, we have an interesting topic, and I think it's maybe something everybody can relate to, whether or not you are in a relationship with Jesus yet or not. And I always say yet, because I try to have that faith that everybody would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. Here is my topic for today that I think everybody's going to relate to. Is it just me, or is everybody out there really stressed out, mean, rude? It seems to be that it's getting worse out there. And I could probably cite a bunch of different reasons why, just personally what I see. But there was an article that came out a couple of few months ago, and it's basically saying, why are people acting so weird? Why is crime up? Why are people being so rude? Why is no one helping each other? What happened to the good Samaritans, basically? What happened to the people that out there that were, you know, helping your neighbors out? And it seems like everybody, I think if you look at the pandemic recently and being, you know, kind of locked in your homes and told to hide in place or whatever they call it, it's also the climate of the nation. I think the politics and the division And then obviously we've talked about the last couple of weeks that really what's going on is people are starting to make choices now. People are starting to realize that there is a God, and it is the God of the Bible, and there is Jesus, and he did die for our sins. And they're making that decision to go that route, which hopefully they do, because God says, hey, I don't want anybody to perish. I want everybody to come to the realization of Christ. I want everyone to repent. But on the other hand, there are people out there that are making decisions not to have a relationship with Christ. And they know about God, but they're just not doing it. But why are people being so rude? Well, you can point to the fact is, yes, you know, if you know God, you know peace. If you have no God in your life, you won't know peace. And that's obvious. And that's what we talk about a lot here. But let's just go a little bit into the culture right now. What is going on with people right now? So this article that came out basically was citing some examples where They've had record of people, you've probably seen a lot in the news, people flipping out on airplanes, people flipping out in airports, restaurants, being rude, cutting people off on the road. This article that's from The Atlantic by Olga Gonzabi basically was citing examples of people with having disorderly or rude, unhinged conduct. Seems to be caught on videos everywhere. From rudeness and carelessness to physical violence has increased. People are crashing their cars. More pedestrians are being killed at a higher rate. There's more. If you look at the crime in the city, you can definitely say, yes, crime is on the upswing, unfortunately. And then this article also talks about the murder has gone up. But I think the whole thing about this article is really talking about just the rudeness of people. the bad behavior. And they keep talking about how there's these situations now where if you have an opportunity to help somebody, you don't. You keep walking by. And there could be several reasons for that. Like nowadays, you can't trust people. I remember when I was a kid, we used to hitchhike to school. I don't think I would ask anybody or suggest ever that anybody would hitchhike nowadays, because you look at crime, you look at people that are abducted, and I don't think hitchhiking is a smart thing to do. But if you look at what's going on in the world, it's because it's a lack of trust of people now. So sometimes, you know, you want to help that person on the side of the road, but yet now you're worried about, is it a trap? So I think a lot of the rudeness that's happening right now is, or the lack of wanting to help other people, is because of distrust. You're frightened. You're hesitant. You're afraid to help others. Now, what does the Bible say about this? Well, that's where the whole discernment comes in. That's where we all have to be smart. I'm aware now more than ever, as we go through life on a daily basis, that we're going to be placed in situations where we can take action or not take action. We can help others around us. I've always tried to help people in need. You know, when I see some, I've helped change tires for people on the side of the road and people that were lost, and I've given people rides and things like that. But I do admit that there are times where I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant at times to help somebody because of what may or may not happen. What does God say about that? I do know one thing, that sometimes it takes just one person to make a difference, an entire group of people. One person helping somebody else makes a huge difference. It encourages others. It restores your faith in humanity, as some people would say, when somebody helps each other. As a matter of fact, there are times when I've helped somebody out and somebody looked at me in shock or surprise. It's little things, like holding a door open for somebody. And somebody goes, thank you. You know, just helping somebody out, or, that was nice, I'm surprised. And I've heard people say, nobody does that anymore. Nobody's helping anybody out anymore. You know, and I know, and I get it, the hesitance, you know, there's with the rise in crime and the distrust in people, I get it. But again, what can we do as Christians to be able to help somebody and not be afraid that we're going to be attacked or something? So I want to look at this at different angles today, and obviously from the Word of God, but I'm just going to look at to see what we can do as Christians. So where do we go in God's Bible, in the Holy Word? Where do we do this? Let's go to Luke 10. 25 to 37, it's the Good Samaritan. Let's just start there when we look for answers. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." Well, listen, the first thing God says here, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, okay? That's the first thing, all right? I just want to make sure people know that this isn't about works. This isn't about, if I just love people, because sometimes people can be a little selective in what they hear, and sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident. You know, like I just talked this week with Jerry O'Lennon about our governor that used the Word of God in an advertisement billboard. It was completely out of context, used the wrong way. So I want to make sure that we're understanding this. When this says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, boom, that's a relationship with God. That's accepting Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the true God of the Bible. I love God more than anything else. I give my life to God. I give my heart to God. I want to spend eternity with him. Boom. Now, because of that relationship with God, because I'm loving him with all my soul, all my strength, and all my mind, that makes me want to do things that please God. That makes me want to do things that are for him and not for me. And he says then, and And that's what the word says, the word of God says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, before I go on, I want to make sure that when this man answered rightly, the man who said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, he's quoting scripture. And the thing about this is that when you love God, then you want to live for him. You want to do things that please him. And I know I'm taking a little bunny trail here, but loving our enemies, praying for our enemies, even though we don't agree with people, we still love them. We show them the love of God. We pray for people that even persecute us. That's important. And we help people out whenever we can, when it's possible. So Jesus replied with this story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, and they beat him up and left him for dead beside the road. I'm sure many of you have heard this story already, but hang on. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed the other side of the road and passed him by. A Levite, a temple assistant, walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and then when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay the next time I'm here, which I thought was great. That's awesome. Put it on my tab. I'll pay it when I get back. I thought that's so kind. But which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits, Jesus asked. The man that Jesus was talking to, he replied, well, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yep, yes. Now go and do the same. See, that's the key. Mercy. Mercy on people. I struggle with that at times. My history was not mercy on people. That's my wife's gift. Mercy did not come easy to me. See, because we so easily write people off. Now, before I'm actually going to spend some time on that. So I'm going to spend time on having mercy for others is one of the reasons why people don't help each other out or why people are rude or mean, because they lack mercy, you know, the mercy of God. But I want to go back. I wonder why the priest and that Levite, the temple assistant, walked by him, went to the other side. I wondered why. And if you say, well, people don't really change, times change, but people don't, I'm thinking, okay, well, I can probably surmise to a certain point that the priest probably just didn't want to get involved. You know, I'm too good for that. I'm a priest. Don't want to get my hands dirty, whatever. And the temple assistant may have been too busy. I got lots of things to do. I got to get to the temple. I'm supposed to be there in 10 minutes. I don't have time to take care of this guy. Maybe he walked to the other side. It could be, I don't know, but I'm just throwing some ideas out there for us to ponder. It could be, I wonder if those bandits are still around. And if I help this guy, maybe the bandits will come out and attack me. Or it could be, maybe it's a trick. Maybe this guy's not really hurt, and maybe if I try to help him, I'll get robbed. So who knows? Who knows? I just thought that was interesting. Because I wonder why. Because I think about sometimes why I might not help somebody when I can. And I would probably say the number one reason is I'm busy. I'm driving and I'm in a hurry and I got to get to someplace. I think it's probably, if I had to assume, you know, I would probably say that's probably the reason for most of us. Life is crazy busy and sometimes you just don't take the time to help some people. Wow, that's brutally honest. And that's a tough one. Oh, I'm already feeling convicted already. God help me. All right, but here's the thing. You have to know my history. If you just joined us, I'm Pastor Alfredo, Alfredo Romero from the church here in Chico, Rock of Life Fellowship. All right, well, here's the thing about me. I would put myself in the category, our topic is, why are people rude? What's going on with people? Why aren't we helping anybody the way we used to? And there's lots of stresses that we could blame it on. But we're going to the Word of God and saying, okay, what do we do about that? How do we fix this problem? Mercy doesn't come naturally to me. That's something I pray for. I'm definitely the kind of person that in my past, if you did something to me, I'd write you off. Boy, just one time you betrayed me, just one time you did something to me, and I could write you off easily. I mean, there's lots of friends I had in my past that I remember one friend, he was my best friend for like, you know, a few years. We worked together and stuff. And he really did one thing to me that I felt betrayed, and I wrote him off. The next day was like, I never knew him. I could turn my emotions off. I could just, no mercy. I just went, nope, you're, I don't want to quote this, but I'm probably going to. You know, it's a famous like mafia kind of, you know, gang kind of phrase. Like, you're dead to me. You're just dead to me. I could do that. And I laugh about it because it's so pathetic. But I totally could do that. I did. I've done that to a lot of people in my life. And I look now as, I know that's the old Alfredo. That's not the new revitalized, new creation, you know, the redeemed, the renewed Alfredo. That's the old one. But I use that as a testimony. I use it as a testimony. And I tell you that because what I lacked was mercy and compassion. Mercy and compassion. I only cared about what I felt. I didn't care what anybody else felt. And just to kind of put a cap on that story, I did reach out to that person, you know, a few years later and apologized and said, wow, I'm horrible. I apologize. Matter of fact, I will tell you that I went up to the altar one day in this act of repentance because I realized how unforgiving I was and how lack of compassion I had and basically zero mercy on people. I didn't care what other people thought. I didn't care how they felt. I didn't care what they were going through. I only cared what I did. And I had this moment of great repentance, you know, which basically means I realized, boy, I'm horrible. And I'm really sorry, God. I don't want to be that anymore. I want to turn around and go the other way. I want to be who you want me to be. So I ended up like basically, if I had phone numbers, I called people from my past. And I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry. My bad. My fault. I'm completely wrong. And if I didn't have their phone numbers, I had their email, I sent them a big, long apology email. And if I didn't have their emails, I had their addresses. I was writing letters. You remember that? Snail mail, remember that? Or a text message. And this is, you know, this is 20 years ago. Text messages did exist 20 years ago. And I'm telling you, I was so desperate to contact people. I'm like, I'm sending messages out, email, phone calls, a carrier pigeon, you know, whatever, however I can get a hold of these people and say, I'm so sorry that I didn't help you, that I didn't. You know, I didn't have mercy. I'm so bad. I'm so sorry. So I apologize. But, boy, that was a moment. But at the same time, I'm thinking, we have this ability to help people, to have mercy and compassion on people. And Jesus here is saying, the one who showed him mercy. When somebody's in need, when somebody's in help, when somebody needs help, we have to ask ourselves, do we have mercy? Do we care about people? Do we understand? Do we understand that people need help? Do we understand that there's people out there that may have been in a situation where we've been before? You know, can we actually show people mercy that at times people didn't give us? And that was the big thing that got me, not having mercy on people, a care of people, a compassion for people that at times I would say I didn't deserve and people didn't show to me. It would have been nice if people had given mercy to me. Okay, so the Bible describes or defines mercy as compassion and includes feelings and acts of sympathy, kindness, forgiveness, and love. And Jesus taught in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful. Be merciful as your Father is also merciful. I don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve his mercy. We don't. We're sinners. We turned our back on him. We crucified him. Humanity basically says, hey, we don't need you. We didn't deserve God's mercy, his grace, but he gave it to us. And that's what it says in Matthew 5:7. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. That's also in Luke 6:36. And like I said, mercy is defined as this compassion, a feeling for somebody, an act of sympathy, kindness, forgiveness, and love. I'm going to share a story with you. True story. Happened. I witnessed this. basically a few years ago, I did this sermon. I did this message for my people, and it was called, Is There Anyone Who Will Help Me? It's kind of the version of the Good Samaritan, that I witnessed. It was almost identical. And so we were in this fast food place here in Chico late one night. This is probably about 7 years ago. And this lady walked in this fast food place, and she looked disheveled. She looked like she'd been through some stuff. And she asked this crew member at this fast food place, which I won't name. They probably don't work there anymore. But this lady walked in and said, and she was upset. She's going, listen, my phone is dead, and I'm trying to get home. I missed my daughter. She didn't pick me up. I need a caller. My cell phone is dead. Can I please use a cell phone charger for my phone? And this is, 7 years ago, where pretty much all the chargers were the same kind of plug. Hers was dead. Her phone was dead. And she was trying to make a call to her daughter in Paradise to get a ride home. And she was shopping. She missed the last bus back to Paradise. That's what she was saying. I missed the bus. I've got a little cart of groceries. I'm trying to get back home. And this lady, I don't know, well, she might have been maybe 55, 60. And she had this shopping cart, full of just household items. Each crew member looked at her and said, no, we don't have chargers. Or she goes, well, can I use your phone? Can I? And they go, no, we don't have phones. I'm not even kidding. They said, no, I'm sorry, we don't have phone chargers. And she goes, well, can somebody please lend me their phone? And I'm sitting there with my dad and my sister. No, my dad, my daughters, and a friend of mine. She stated, out of frustration, she goes, isn't there anyone who will help me? And then she said, I've gone to a gas station. I went to a grocery store, and no one would let me use a phone or help me. I went into the grocery store next door. Nobody would let me use a phone. I went to a clothing store, and no one would help me. This woman was exasperated. And then she said this, and I can't believe she said this, but she goes, isn't there any good people left in the world? And I'm sitting there, and this whole thing took place within like 45 seconds. Hey, can I use your phone? No. Hey, my phone's dead. I missed the last bus. I'm trying to get home, trying to call my daughter. Can I use your phone? No. I'm sorry, we don't have chargers or phones. And then she goes, I went to the store. I went to Kashi at the gas station. Nobody would help me. Isn't there anyone that would help me? So we're listening. So we walked up to the woman and said, look, don't worry. I have a charger. I had a portable charger with me. I let her use the charger. And my friend walks up to her and says, we'll call your daughter. It's okay. And my dad, my dad says, just take her home. We're going to Paradise. We'll take her home. And we had two cars. So my dad took my daughter, and that was cool. And we ended up, me and my friend said, we'll just take you home. So we found out as we were driving this woman up to her house in Paradise, which wasn't really far from where my friend lived. We were talking with her. We were just saying, hey, how are you? What's going on? Are you okay? Can we pray for you? And she said, well, I'm just having a tough time. My sister just died from AIDS. Their parents had basically cut all ties with her and her sister. She struggled with substance abuse for years, but she said she was clean now, and she was trying to take care of her two teenage daughters. So when we got to the house, we were talking with this lady, and the two teenage daughters came out with some friends, and we were just talking about, people and, her relationship with God, and does she have a relationship with God? And said, yeah, they actually said they go to a church on occasion. And the two teenage girls were wonderful. They go, Mom, well, we were wondering, we try to call you. She goes, yeah, my phone's dead. Nobody helped me. And this is why I say this. I don't say this because, look, I helped us. No, it's not what I'm saying. The point about this is that this woman said, no one would help me. And frankly, just talking with this woman, we could see that it was a situation I felt comfortable with, because I understand discernment. I understand, situations where, I need to be cautious. I understand, like I said earlier, just picking up somebody randomly, I understand. Look, I get it. But I knew that this is a situation. We ended up out there for about half an hour, talking to the daughters, talking to her. We were in a circle. We were praying, holding hands, you know, just praising God. And it was amazing. All right, so maybe that was meant to be. Maybe all these other people saying no was meant to be. Maybe it's kind of like the Good Samaritan. Two people passed by, you know, see this guy on the road beat up, hurt. You know, a priest walks by, the temple assistant walks by, and this a lot of people walk by this lady. And it was really my dad and my friend that were the active agents of this. You know, my friend is the one that said, "Hey, you know, we'll take you home." My dad says, "Take her home." My friend is the one who was initiating a lot of the conversation. You know, God bless them. My dad's went home to be with the Lord 4 years ago, and you know, God bless them. But how can we justify not helping people? This is what I'm talking about. If you just joined us, people are struggling nowadays. People are how do we help people? You know, the rudeness that's out there. I mean, you just drive around, people cutting people off on the roads like never before. The road rage, and I've witnessed it myself, and I'm guilty of road rage myself. You know, and I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to get mad and yell at people. And I pray for them now. My wife is a big agent of it. It feels so funny. I have people around me that keep me straight. You know, my wife is the one that says, you know, you got to stop yelling at people. So now we're like, and now I'm praying, Lord, you know, that person just cut somebody off. That person's driving us recklessly. Instead of cursing them or, you know, or doing something stupid, I'm just like, Lord, you know, please protect them. Hedge of protection around the cars. Make sure he doesn't hurt himself or other people. I find myself praying for people now. I don't want to curse people. I don't want to not be Jesus. You know, I want to have compassion and mercy on people because I don't know what somebody's going through. Look, folks, you never know what people are going through. And that's the key here. You don't know what other people are going through. And so if somebody's in a rush and maybe they cut you off, okay, maybe they're just reckless drivers and they need to have their license taken away. I'm in total agreement with that. I'm not an advocate for people driving recklessly. I've been hit by other cars before, as probably most of us have. And unfortunately, if we've ever were in an accident, hopefully just some type of, you know, small minor accident that, you know, I understand. But sometimes we don't know what people are going through. And maybe they're having a rough day. Maybe they're rushing to a hospital. I don't know. But here's what I'm trying to say. We got to start praying for people. We got to start caring about people. It's got to start with me. It's got to start with you. We have to start showing mercy and compassion, and prayer is a big part of that. When this woman told us, isn't there any good people left in the world? That was a big thing. How can we justify not helping people? It's got to begin with us. It's got to start with you. It's got to start with me. We have to start changing the world right now in our own arena. It's like that drop of water. An act of kindness goes a long way. It's infectious. I saw this great video of how one act of kindness, one small thing led to this ripple effect where suddenly that pay it forward thing, which if it's done biblically, I'm all for. I'm not for the pay it forward just to bring attention to ourselves or just in vain. I'm all in for acts of kindness, but I want it to be biblical. I want it to be because we're loving people the way Jesus asked us to. Luke 6:27-36 says, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Be good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you only love those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get the credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money to only those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners who lend to other sinners will get full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great. And you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate." Wow, that's mercy. That says it all. And even, listen, if you're listening and you don't have that relationship with Jesus yet, but you're thinking, oh, I want to be kind to people, can I give you a suggestion? Reread that again. Luke 6:27 to 36. Luke 6, 27 to 36. Because this says it all. I think even people that try to be good, that may not have a relationship with God, understand the principle of wanting to help others. I think even us followers of Christ, we get caught up in the, I'm only going to help somebody if I can get repaid. Well, I'll help somebody if I, you know, if I get paid back, if they do something back. I'll do something for you if you do this for me. That's so wrong. That's not mercy. That's not compassion. That's a quid pro quo. I'll do something for you if you do something for me. Do we do something kindness, mercy, compassionate act just because it's the right thing to do? That's a big thing. Are we still, even in our acts of kindness, placing our needs before their needs? With all the challenges we have in the world today, and with seemingly people trying to destroy this world and each other, we as Christians, followers of Christ, we cannot lose our compassion for others. Stop cursing people. Stop cursing politicians. Stop cursing people we see as the enemy, people that even argue against the word of God. Because that's not what Christ asked us to do. He says we are to pray for our enemies. We're to love those who persecute us. We are to show them the love of God. That doesn't mean we allow ourselves to be taken advantage of. That doesn't mean we're wimpy Christians. That doesn't mean if I'm walking down the street and somebody hits my wife, I'm not going to defend her. That's not what it means. It just means we're to lead with love. We're to love others. You know, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others as yourself. That's where we can start. And we can, when we know where to help others, when we know it's safe, when we know it's okay, because I get it, I know the way the world is, I know there's times where we have this little feeling, something tells me this isn't quite right. You hear that, Holy Spirit? I'm all in for that too, okay? James 4:17 says something really important. It says, remember, it's a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. I was so guilty of that. You know, when I knew I was supposed to help somebody, but I didn't, I told a story to my congregation, the people in my church, just a couple of months ago. Because I had some big time guilt. I had some big time, I needed to repent. And what I told them was, you know, 9 times out of 10, when I see somebody around me and they're in need, you know, I really want to jump in. I love helping people now because it was the opposite of what I used to do. But I love helping people now. I really do. But there was one time I was in a car shop and I was in a hurry and my day had blown up. I mean, my day just blew up. And I'm in this dealership for my car. I had to have my car, you know, I brought it in. It wasn't working. It threw my whole day off. I'm pretty sure you guys can relate where you have your whole day planned and something happens and one thing throws like the 9 other things that you've got planned, throws it completely off. I had one of those days. So I'm in the car shop and I'm in line and I'm like, every person takes like 10 minutes to process. And I just, you know, very fleshly that day. And there was a woman 2 spots ahead of me. And she couldn't afford to pay the bill. The guy says, hey, this is going to cost you, you know, this is going to cost you $1,500. She goes, oh, no, that's so much. I don't have that. What can I do? Oh, no. And the guy goes, listen, do you have this, you know, do you have this membership, this certain membership? And she goes, well, yeah, okay, great, great, great. That'll knock 10% off. I can knock $150 off. That's great. And she goes, that's okay. That's good. I'll try to pay that. She goes, I'm just struggling so much. And the woman starts to vent and I'm standing there listening and I'm kind of tapping my foot and, I'm being very transparent here. Okay. Very transparent. And the guy in front of me is kind of hemming and hawing because the woman's going on. But she starts to vent. She goes, I'm just struggling with money. You know, I'm trying to put my daughter through college. You know, she starts college soon, and you know, my husband just left me. He's 55 years old, and he left me for this woman in her early 30s, and she starts just venting. She needed somebody to listen to her, and I gotta admit, I blew it. I lacked that compassion at the moment. I was just thinking about myself, and I was very transparent as I was telling this, you know, this true story to my people at church. I said, I'm not perfect. I there's times I miss the boat. I'm thankful that I'm not who I used to be, but I still know I'm a work in progress, and I still have things that I need to work on. And there's times that I think the enemy tries to throw that unmerciful, uncompassionate Alfredo back at me, but I'm not that person anymore because I recognized it. But the woman kind of was looking at us, kind of embarrassing, but yet she was still talking. And she walked away, and, you know, God bless her. And I waited my turn, got my car and everything, checked in. But man, I felt guilty. I didn't walk up to her. I didn't say, hey, you know, my name's Alfredo, I'm a pastor. I felt so guilty that I didn't do what I ought to do. I missed the boat. Now, here's the thing. If God wants that woman to be ministered to, and I don't do it, he's going to place somebody in her life that's going to minister to her. That's the way it works. God wants something done, it's going to be done, whether I do it or not. But I missed the boat on that one. And I openly confessed that to my people. I said, I missed the boat. And it was a big lesson for me. So, and that's what we're talking about today. Do we have compassion? Do we have mercy for people? Now, I like telling stories, and I'll always use myself as an example. But I want to give you another story. This is another true story. It happened to me. This is a better story than the last one. Dear Lord, I just pray. God, I'm so sorry for that still. I do repent of that time where I should have to do what I ought to do, and I didn't do it, Lord. And I just want to show compassion and mercy to all your people and love boldly and gently, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your forgiveness. I lived in L.A. quite a few years ago, and I worked in West L.A. And if you're on the freeway in L.A., boy, you see people broken down all the time. So I'm in this fast lane. I'm zooming. And there's this woman in a car in the fast lane, and her blinker is on, trying to get from the fast lane over to the emergency lane. But people are just zipping by her. And people in L.A. drive 75 miles an hour at, you know, average. And people are zipping by her. Nobody's allowing this woman to move over. Nobody's slowing down to let her over. And I got in behind her, and I noticed she had a flat tire. And she's still going at a pretty good clip. And I'm going, okay, so what I did is I got behind her, and when I could, I moved over to the next lane. And then I waved her over. And okay, and I was slowing traffic down for sure. All right, then she got in front of me. Then when I could, safely, I got to the next lane over to the right. And then I waved her over. I must have had a good Jesus day that day. So then what I did was I got to that last lane because, you know, in L.A., there's 57 lanes on a highway. So after, you know, 56 lanes of moving her over, we get into the emergency lane. Finally, okay. And I noticed, and I got to tell you something, my heart was breaking. I started tearing up. I was crying because as I'm doing this, I got closest lane. I'm moving her over. I see there's three little heads in the back. These three kids are in the back. And there's this probably a little older adolescent in the passenger seat. And I'm this poor lady, and people saw she had kids in there, and she was an older lady. And so what got me was the disregard that these people had for this woman and her kids. They were speeding by, showing her no mercy for this woman being in need. So I'm kind of giving you the good Alfredo, bad Alfredo, or the Jesus Alfredo and the fleshly, selfish Alfredo is probably a better way to say it. Because no one's really truly good but God. All right. So we get in that lane over there, and I got her in mercy. I got out of my car safely, because I'm the safety master. Just ask my kids. I'm the safety monitor. I'm all about safety. I go up to the passenger side. I go, hey, are you okay? She goes, yeah, nobody would let me over. It's just like nobody would help me. I was trying to get over forever. I go, okay, don't worry about it. So I looked, and I said, okay, your tire's flat. Do you have a spare? Do you have a phone? Do you call? She goes, I'm on the way to San Diego, and we're in L.A. She's got another 2 hours to go. And I said, okay, all right. So I changed her tire. You know, I put the little tire on, you know, those stupid little tires they give you because, God forbid, that these guys want to save money. They don't give us a full-fledged tire the way they used to. They got to give us these little, you know, tinker toy tires, you know. So that's a rant. So I changed her tire. And I'm going, oh, and these poor kids, I love kids. And, oh, man, my heart was breaking. These little kids are back there. They got powder on their mouth. They're all eating these powdered donuts. And I'm like, oh, these kids. So I said, okay, where are you going? She goes, I'm going to San Diego. Okay, look, this tire, probably it'll be okay, but you need to get that tire fixed. Go to the nearest place to fix the tire. You know, I think I gave her a few bucks. And, you know, made sure she got back on the freeway safely, and then she took off. The thing that got me was everybody that drove just right by her. Kind of like we were talking earlier. What was the reasoning? Why do we drive by people? And I'm not talking about in the cars. Why do we walk by people? And it doesn't have to be strangers. I'm talking about people in church. I'm talking about your family members. I'm talking about your friends. I mean, I'm not talking about just people in cars now. I'm saying, where is the compassion for the people in our own circle? I mean, strangers, for one thing, is amazing. I love that. But not having compassion, and even for our family members, yikes. I mean, if we have aught with our family members, our neighbors, and we're in a fight with somebody, and we have unforgiveness or offense in our hearts, that's the same kind of problem now. Where's the compassion? Where's the mercy? See, it's not just about helping people in need. It's also a compassion and mercy that is over the entire slate. Compassion and mercy for people covers everything. It really does, because the root of that is love. And love conquers all. And because of the love, if you think about the Samaritans, the Good Samaritan story, he says, God says, if you love God, love the foundation, the love of God. That is the foundation for the love and the mercy and the compassion that you have for other people. That you love others the way you love yourself. And that's the whole point of this conversation today. The love of God. Because if we have the love of God in our hearts, suddenly we have mercy and compassion and forgiveness for other people. And if there's people in our own circle, let's start there. Let's start there. Let's make that phone call. Maybe we were done wrong. Maybe it's totally not your fault. Maybe whatever this person did to you totally was all on them. Does that mean we can't call them up and at least say, listen, I just been thinking, I'm sorry our relationship went this way. I just want you to know I love you. I care about you. And if there's one thing I'm truly sorry about, it's just holding offenses and holding that grudge. And is there a way we can just start over? Is there a way we can just, you know, acknowledge our relationship and move forward? See, there's one thing I've learned from this. When I called people from my past and I asked for forgiveness, I would honestly up front tell you, some of it was my fault. And maybe the foundation of the issue that we had wasn't my fault. In other words, maybe it's something they did. But when I gave these people a call, I didn't try to like resolve the situation and figure out who was to blame, you know. And I know we do that a lot of times. It's not like as if I said, well, first of all, before I tell you I'm sorry, let me just point out how wrong you were. Let me just first point out that, you know, this whole thing was really your fault to begin with. But you know what? I'm at a place now in my life where I'm ready to forgive you. I've just come to this epiphany of the love of God and, you know, just how big I'm going to be about forgiving you. So, you know, I forgive you. Can we just move forward? Boy, if I heard that, I'd think, well, I'm pretty sure I'd hear a click on the other end of that phone. All right, so listen. Love is unconditional. God's forgiveness is unconditional. How do I know that? Because I don't deserve his love. The things that I've done in my life, I didn't deserve his forgiveness. None of us do. None of us forgive his mercy. But Christ died for us anyway. God still sent his only begotten Son so that we wouldn't perish, that whoever believed in him would never perish, but have eternal life. And God still, his desire is still that not one person would perish. God still says love conquers all. God still says, for God so loved the world. Jesus on the cross, after being crucified by the people he loved, still said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's amazing. That kind of love, that kind of compassion and mercy, that's the goal, folks. That's the target. That's where we should aim. Unconditional love. Now, I know, I've had this kind of conversation with people before. And you know what the rebuttal to this was? I don't want to be taken advantage of. It's not my fault. What do I do with somebody that continually hurts me? What do I do with someone that continually offends me? What do I do when I've preached and I've told them about the love of God and I've said, I forgive you? And what if they still hold offense? And there's people in my family, there's friends of mine, there's people in church that I had to leave the church because I had offended with somebody. What do I do when I go to these people and I love, and they don't, and, you know, what do I do? Well, you still love them. And also, there was this Bible verse where Jesus said, you know, you go to some place, and if you can't do anything there, if people won't listen to you, they don't have faith, shake the dust off your feet and move on. There are some relationships in my past, in my life, that I had to move on from. It couldn't be fixed. Maybe that was a God thing. But I said I loved them. I said I was sorry. But I knew that relationship, I had to give to God. I had to say, Lord, this person is now yours. I've loved them. I've asked for forgiveness. I've released offense. I've released the hurt and the pain to you, God. And now I'm releasing this person to you. And if they come back around later, hallelujah, praise God. But right now, I'm giving this person over to you. I'm going to become what's called an interceder, intercessory prayer. I'm going to stand in that gap between you and them, God, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in that space that somehow is a space between you and them. And that's an important thing to do. I realize, and I'm not saying that we allow ourselves to be doormats kicked around. There are some relationships we need to move away from. I get that. God is perfectly okay with that. It's exactly what he says in his word. Sometimes you need to shake the dust off your shoes, off your feet, and just move on. I get it. Some relationships, people are supposed to lift us up, not tear us down. I get that. And there are discernment moments in my life when I feel in my heart, I need to keep moving, that maybe this isn't a place where I pause and try to do something. I just, something tells me, keep moving. I get it. But the closer you are with God, the more that Holy Spirit discernment starts to help us out and leads us and directs us and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And that's exactly what the love of God does. That relationship with God gives us that discernment, gives us that compassion, gives us that mercy for other people. And I'm okay with that. See, here's how one person, I'm going to shift gears slightly, but if you don't think that one act of forgiveness, that one act of kindness goes a long way, it does. It's that ripple effect. It's you showing compassion to one person. I've been in instances where I've talked to family members where they said, you know, me and my family member, my brother, we just don't get along. Me and my brother don't get along. And it's all years and years of offense and hurt and pain. And something happens where one of the brothers has this moment with God and realizes he's lacking compassion and mercy, that he's not being that example of Christ's love. So he starts doing acts of kindness out of an act to please God, to be obedient to God. And suddenly the brother notices and somehow their relationship starts to change, and there starts to be forgiveness and mercy and compassion and a healing of that relationship. Well, their sons or their daughters start to see that, and that starts to heal the relationship and the animosity between uncles. And their wives start to see it, And that heals the relationship between the couples. And it starts to snowball because friends see that. Hey, you guys have been fighting for years. What's going on? Well, you know, it all started with someone, one person being Jesus, one person forgiving, one person showing compassion, mercy, one person loving others the way God loves us, one person. Amen. All right, we got a few minutes left. I'm going to kind of leave that there. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I'm going to end this on a little bit of a lighthearted note. I do want to say that this is Pastor Alfredo from Rocco Life Fellowship here in Chico, filling in for John Sheffenson for an undetermined amount of time. We had a very good day at church on Sunday. We had a prayer Sunday at Rock of Life. I did a teaching on prayer, and we were basically talking about how we can pray for each other, how we can love each other. And so I'm going to end on a couple notes here. One of the notes I want to end on is how one person can make a difference. And I'm going to actually tell you some jokes, which is interesting. I love jokes. I love humor. And I wanted to end today on a little bit of a lighthearted note. One person makes a difference. And we just talked about one act of kindness, how it has a ripple effect. We can even hear in the Bible, you can hear out in the world where it takes two or more to accomplish certain things. And it, one person can make a difference. Bible talks about one person. It talks about even taking a village, an army, a group of people. The Bible says when two or more are gathered. And then the Bible even talks about going into your room, just you, and spending time with God one-on-one. See, sometimes it takes one person to get a job done, when others tend to pass it on or refuse to do the job. We can make it more difficult than it should be to help others or do a simple task or duty. And you hear all these jokes about something simple we make more complicated than it should be. For example, changing a light bulb. It should take just one person. So how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? Depends on the denomination. Nobody get offended. And this is just laughing at ourselves. Please, nobody get offended. I don't want cards and letters. How many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? It depends on the denomination. Pentecostals, it takes 10. One to change the bulb and 9 to pray against the spirit of darkness. How many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? At least 15. One to change the light bulb and 14 others in 3 committees to approve the change and decide who brings the potato salad and the fried chicken. I can tell you, these are pretty interesting, somewhat true. Okay, Roman Catholic. How many Roman Catholics does it take to change a light bulb? None, because they only use candles. Episcopalians, 7. It takes 7 Episcopalians to change a light bulb. 1 to call the electrician, the other 6 on the board to discuss how much better the old one was. Okay, I'm going to give you a moment here. I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just, hey, listen, we got to lighten up. We talk about a lot of heavy things. I just want to end it on something kind of lighthearted. Okay, how many Nazarenes does it take to change a light bulb? 6. 1 woman to replace the bulb while 5 men review the church policy on light bulb changing. Uh-oh. That one I like. All right. I got 3 more. Hang on. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? None. Lutherans don't believe in change. That one gets me. My wife was Lutheran. I grew up Catholic. I've been in Baptist churches. My girlfriend, when I was younger, was Episcopalian. I went to her church for a long time. I got lots of Baptist friends. I spent a lot of time at Champion Christian, which was held in a Nazarene church. So I've got experience with this. Hopefully everybody can laugh at themselves. I got a couple of more. Okay, I got a couple of minutes more. Amish. How many Amish does it take to change a light bulb? What's a light bulb? Think about that one. That one's hilarious. Last one. Here we go. And I spent time in this church. How many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? Just one, because his hands are already up in the air. I think that one's my favorite. See, I went to a charismatic church for quite some time. I got to tell you, there's one thing that we could use more in our lives. That's joy. That is some laughter, especially laughing at ourselves. Life is serious. Life is tough. But one thing I really appreciate, and maybe this will be a topic for us one day, is God, he created laughter. And I think sometimes the self-effacing laughter and humor is a good thing. We can't take ourselves way too seriously. And so I do want to tell you that the Bible does say that God laughed. Matter of fact, if you look in Psalms, I believe it's 2, the leaders of the world basically said, you know what, God, we don't need you anymore. We can do things on our own, and we got this down here. We got power, riches, wealth, everything. We don't need you. And it says God laughed. God mocked them, or laughed at them for mocking him. And it says basically, in some translation, it says God scoffed. All right, I'm going to end now. So I want to thank you all for joining us here on Christ Today. This is Pastor Alfredo Romero. I do want to go over just a couple of things. I am from Rock of Life Fellowship. I do want to say that we are here in Chico at 2555 Dominic Drive. We've been in our current location about 3 years. We're all about Jesus. It is all about Christ, the foundation. It's about your relationship with Christ. Our fundamental saying that we have is Jesus is real. He is always relevant, always has been, and he wants a relationship with you that lasts for eternity. He wants you with him forever. And we all are work in progress. We have a lot of, every single person in our church is working on their relationship with Jesus. Whether we've known Christ for a day, a month, a year, or we have people that come in trying to find out who God is. With all the things that are going on in the world, and I know it's tough right now, a lot of people are struggling to kind of get serious for a moment. There's a lot of people looking for answers. A lot of people are really struggling, trying to navigate through a world that just frankly beats us up a lot. But we start by telling people our leadoff hitter, our focus is always going to be a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus says, if you want to go to the Father, nobody gets to the Father except through me. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if you're listening and you don't have that relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you right now. If you've heard this the last hour, if you joined us somewhere in the middle, I want to pray with you because I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. And no matter what you've been through, if there's one person that knows how you feel, if there's one person that can lift you up and change life, that's Jesus. So let me pray with you. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for anybody listening to this broadcast this morning, Lord, that it was two things. It was an encouragement to those that are followers of Christ, to those that are children of God, a way to grow our relationship with you. And Father, if there's anybody listening that does not have that relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, I pray for them right now that they would begin that relationship, that they would learn to rely on you and that we don't rely on this world. Your word says that we confess with our tongue, believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, that he came and died just for us to give us life everlasting, that if we would repent, turn from this world and the ways of this world and put our trust in you as Savior, that we would be saved. So I thank you for that, Lord. And I give you praise and glory for each person that's listening right now that's starting that relationship with you, Jesus. And if anyone that was encouraged and their relationship was uplifted, renewed, revitalized, I pray and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, this is Pastor Alfredo from Rock of Life Fellowship here in church, wishing you and praying that each of you show love to others, but first of all, your love to God. God bless you, and we'll talk to you next week. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.